gay people love puns.
I'm dead. We have to stop this podcast.
Well, this book causes Satanism.
What is left for us to rant about?
There is nothing straight about Plum Velvet.
You shouldn't have been drinking when I said that.
Monocles are impractical, but hot. I don't for a second believe that she is a straight person.
I mean, I'm definitely here for bisexual Minerva McGonagall.
Let's talk about Harry Potter.
Hello, and welcome to The Gaily Prophet, a humorous yet ruthless podcast where two queer IRL witches talk about Harry Potter. I am America's favorite Griffin dandy, Lark Malachi Gray.
And I am Griffin Dyke Extraordinaire, Jesse Blount. And today we are talking about the second half of Chapter 26, The Second Task. So Harry, running full speed from the library to the lake, gets there just in time to eat his gross pickles and jump into this cold-ass lake with all of his clothing. Thankfully, the gillyweed gave him gills and some other handy fish-like things so he can breathe in this gross sewage water lake. It's pretty cool under there, like plants and like more plants and Grindylows trying to eat him. Good times. Thankfully, Myrtle comes by to say hi and to point him in the right direction out of the field of Grindylows, and soon he's in a merfolk town where in the town square all of the child hostages are tied to a statue. None of the other champions have arrived yet, so we get to see that the hostages are Ron, Hermione, Cho Chang, and Fleur's sister. Harry, completely ill-prepared for this, even though he has a magic wand, cuts Ron's seaweed rope with a rock. The merfolk are not helping for shit, especially when Harry tries to rescue everyone else. Thankfully, Cedric shows up, letting Harry know that others are on their way. But, like any good party girl knows, you gotta wait to the end of the night to make sure your friends get home safe. Fleur does not show up, though, so Harry threatens the merfolk with his wand in order to save both Ron and the young Delacour girl. He gets to the surface just in time as the gillyweed magic wears off in the water. Ron, good friend that he is, berates Harry for saving the girl because, duh, no one was actually in danger. I would have done the same thing, to be honest, and the way Percy and Fleur act when they see their respective siblings makes me think that everyone was fucking worried anyway. Hermione is proud of her friend because she is a good person, but Harry is feeling like a fucking joke for caring about other people and sabotaging his ranking in the tournament. But the Merchief told Dumbledore what happened in the water, and Harry ends up with enough points to put him neck and neck with Cedric. Whoops. The last task is at the end of June, but they won't know what it is until May. But at least Harry, recognizing how much he owes Dobby, is at least going to buy him so many socks.
Yep. All right, we are going to start this newspaper off with today's headlines. Live coverage of Triwizard Tournament second task canceled after event organizers explain the spectators will just be sitting in the cold staring at a lake.
Like, this actually goes... Actually, I have an editorial about
this. It needs to be in editorials, yes.
Okay. All right, never mind. Okay, yes.
All right, so before we get there, we are going to turn to the front page where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else.
I am deeply confused by, this is a rant. Why is Victor Crumb the only one in a swimsuit?
Same, me too. Also very confused.
I mean, Harry at least is like, I showed up last minute and didn't even take my robe off. But Fleur is in robes.
Yep. Maybe she's in like a bathrobe that she like took off because it's fucking freezing and her bathing suit was under it. And we don't know what Cedric was wearing, which is really weird considering how invested in looking at Cedric Harry is. I thought that was quite odd.
I think if Cedric was also also shirtless in a swimsuit, again, like a pair of like swim trunks, Harry would have noticed.
That's true.
He does not, so.
Yeah, so we have to assume that he's wearing robes. Our sweet, clueless, unobservant narrator, Harry Potter, is shocked when gillyweed gives him gills. Like, it's in the name. Like, what it...
I... I'm honestly, I feel like I'm just so honestly so annoyed, but it's so classic Harry to have zero follow-up questions about what this does. He's like, cool, I have like fins and like a gills. And I'm like, you literally had no idea what the fuck this is gonna do.
Yep, none whatsoever. Though again, it's in the name. So I just feel like it's like, here, this is gillyweed. It's going to help you go in the lake. It's like not a lot of hard work to like guess what it's going to do for you.
It's not really Harry's strong suit.
It's not.
I have to say that it's kind of nice to see Harry using some of the other knowledge that Lupin imparted on him and the rest of the class in the last books. Because most of the other, I think, quote unquote, dark creatures that they covered last year, like, I don't know if we ever even like encountered them again, really.
We do in the maze.
Oh, some of them are in the maze, you're right.
It was really just preparing him for the Triwizard turn.
I mean, at least he was prepared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you touched on this in your intro. Harry gets there, he's all freaked out. He's like, oh, how am I gonna free them? He's like, gets a rock, whatever, cool. Whatever. He doesn't think of his wand. Okay. The part, however, where Harry gets out his wand to threaten the mer people, puts his wand away, and picks the rock back up. That's where I'm like, come on, buddy, what are you doing?
Okay, actually, I actually have a point about this in this section, which is like, does Harry not know? Did we talk about this already? Like, does he not know a cutting spell? Is there not some kind of slashing cutting spell?
I mean, there is, because Ron used it to take the lace off of his dress robes, like, very recently. And if Ron knows the spell, Harry has to know the spell, because if there's one person less worried about learning than Harry, it's Ron Weasley.
This is true. Actually, I think, no, this, I feel like this conversation came up in Escape from Reality, where someone's complaining about, just use scissors. Why do mages not want to use scissors? And it's like,
it's tape, but yes.
Yeah. Whichever thing it was. Right. And it's like Harry's like, I don't have a knife. I don't know any cutting spells, even though clearly you do. I'll just get this wrong.
Yeah. He, I know.
I'm just like flailing, because I'm just like, Harry, I know this is a high stress situation, but you're also a magician. Like, fucking do the shit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, what do you have next?
I want to know more about whatever magic underwater paint the merpeople use to like paint on the mural or whatever that Harry first sees before he gets to the village. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Underwater paint sounds awesome. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. The only thing I could think of was like rubbing some sort of like plant material onto rock, I feel like might work underwater, but
yeah, or if it's like clay, like different colored clay or something too.
Mm-hmm. Or like rocks that are like a softer density than the one that they're drawing on, maybe. Yeah. I'm gonna complain about the writing later, but I want to just be like, I can admit when the writing is good. And the part where Harry is trying to make it out of the lake and the gillyweed is wearing off and he has Ron and Gabrielle, like, it is deeply claustrophobic. My chest gets tight every time I read that passage. It definitely like conveys the panic of, oh fuck, what if I literally am gonna drown right now? Quite effectively.
Yeah. No, I agree. That part is, I think I just like always skim it because I kind of like, it's a lot.
It's really stressful. Yeah. I just want to close out this section by just appreciating Percy being so worried about Ron, sort of his like facade of, you know, what word am I looking for?
Like collected professionalism, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
And I like that that's described to us as that he looks younger than usual. Like you look at him in that moment and it's like, oh, you're 18, and like you thought your little brother was about to like die underwater.
He's under a lot of stress, and it's like no one knows or cares, and it's like poor Percy.
I agree. And I think that in a lot of ways, I probably like Percy up until the point where he gets like deeply led astray by his ambition because he is a Slytherin. But yeah, I thought that was sweet.
It is very cute.
Welcome to the education section where we talk about this goddamn school. This is where I have sort of like Triwizard things that this school is allowing to happen that are like, what the fuck, basically. That's I put that stuff here. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I guess we should just start off with, I can't believe this is the fucking second task. Did they get anyone's permission for this? Because what the fuck? I mean, anyone's like, was anyone's parents aware of this? Because I'm like, a lot of wild shit happens in the witching world. I cannot imagine anyone being like, yeah, sure, I'll let my child be taken to the bottom of this giant ass lake to be put under a like some kind of spell for someone else to go rest. No.
I mean, do you think they like kidnapped Fleur's sister then? Like, at least she had to come all the way from fucking France.
That is true. I mean, maybe Fleur's family is here for the second task. Is the only thing I can think of to like why that would make any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. It, especially, can you imagine your chose parents? You get this letter from Hogwarts being like, so. I don't know if your daughter has told you yet, but she's dating this boy, and he is one of the Triwizard champions, and they've been together for like 2 months, and she's now the most important person in the world to him. And so we're gonna need you to sign this waiver so we can put her at the bottom of a lake for an hour for him to save. Cool? Be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I mean, maybe there was some kind of, yeah, the deciding factor of this is, I mean, obviously just for the drama of it all, but makes no sense.
No. Can you imagine your Hermione's parents? They can't.
Hermione hasn't been telling her parents shit since book two, let's be perfectly honest. I don't know
Right.
how she's doing it, but her parents have no fucking clue.
Agreed.
Because they would have been like, I'm sorry, what?
Right. Yeah, there's just no way. They can't. Yeah, they can't have, like, Molly Weasley also would not have signed a waiver to allow that. She'd have been like, not only am I not signing this waiver, but actually I'm signing a takes the backseas waiver for Harry Potter because he should not be in, he can't go in the lake either.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was thinking about with this, so Harry used a method to go in the lake that gave him like, I don't know, a fish body, sort of. I was
Yeah.
gonna say amphibian, but they breathe through their skin. So,
Yeah.
you know, he's not cold because of like whatever. But unless the rest of the contestants did like a secondary heating spell on themselves, the bubble head charm, I don't think, is making it so that this, like, you know, 35 degree water, which is what, like, I don't know, 2 degrees Celsius maybe, is like unbelievably dangerous. Like they should have hypothermia.
Pomfrey does have everyone in a blanket at the end. She's like, everyone's in a blanket, everyone's getting some pepper up potion. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but like if water is that cold as Harry is describing, and you're underwater for like over an hour.
Yeah, you're fucked up.
Yeah, no, I mean, like they would have drowned from just like getting too cold and not being able to continue swimming. So like what the fuck is this tournament doing? Like I feel like if it was like, okay, then they went down the line and were like, here's a talisman for everyone that'll stop you from being too cold in the water, I would feel like totally different about this. But they just were like, good luck, kids. See ya.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this is okay. So, on one hand, yes, you're correct. This doesn't make any sense and would definitely fuck you up. On the other hand, I think it's sort of relying on a lot of what happens in this series, where it's like the physical fortitude of witches is like higher than of just regular muggles, because this would kill a regular person. Like, I don't know if y'all know that wetsuits are super warm. Like, that's part of the point
right.
of them. And yeah, like, right. Harry's wearing like now 30 pounds of like wet wool or mm-hmm. whatever the fuck his school clothes are made of, mm-hmm. you know? And the only one that this would make sense where it's like, I mean, yeah, Crumb is shirtless, but he's been like swimming in this lake from jump. So he's like, this is so balmy and warm compared to... what I'm used to.
Yeah. I mean, I think like 50 degrees Fahrenheit is like the sort of lowest safe temperature of water to stay in for more than like a tiny fraction of time. So I mean, on one hand, I think you're right, but like on the other hand, the way that Harry describes this water feeling, you know, doesn't, I mean, I don't know.
This could be a thing where it's just bad writing.
I mean,
not enough follow through.
Because I think that her thing was really like, well, how is Harry going to do this? And then no one's ever going to worry about how the rest of the contestants did this.
And... They're wearing their robes. They're fine. Like, it's not how that works underwater.
Nope. Oh my gosh. Okay. Do you have anything else about this?
Just once again, it seems like learning... Okay, so learning A, literally anything about mermaids, mer people, might have been come in handy. Like, why do we not ever learn anything about merfolk? They live next to the fucking school and they don't learn anything about them? Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Or mermish. Like, who the fuck knows where Dumbledore picked that up? But I'm like, it seems like maybe you could do that if you have a whole community of mer people. Maybe they don't want to fuck with the witches like that, which is understandable. But
yeah, they don't learn languages at Hogwarts. They don't even learn Latin, as we discussed on our episode with Goblet of Wine. Like, it would be so great if they were learning Latin, and also, like, I don't know, gobbledygook would be extremely important.
It's
Yep. All right. Welcome to the politics section, where we talk about things that are fucked up.
Okay, so I have a lot of long interconnected things, so I don't know if you want to go first.
No, let's go for it. I'm assuming my stuff will be interwoven with your stuff, so.
Okay, so I want to talk about the sort of environmental racism that is happening with these merpeople.
Yeah, let's do it.
Partly inspired by our last conversation about how fucked up it is that Hogwarts is just potentially dumping raw sewage into this lake that people live in.
Mm-hmm.
We also actually had a listener send us a very long detailed email about other sort of wastewater and sewage and lake health stuff that was very excellent. Thank you so much for writing us that letter. And so I just want to start off with how deeply fucked up it is that Hogwarts is just, it's fine. We know, like, the headmasters clearly know, people know that there are more people that live in the giant lake.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still like, I actually don't care that you've probably been here longer than we have. We're just gonna flush all of our sewage into your lake.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do about it, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, someone who for a long time lived near an incinerator, I'm like, oh, okay, cool, Hogwarts. Way to just be really shitty to these people that are living, you know, within your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
What the actual fuck? Which actually also leads to maybe another sort of question that is in the real world, we obviously have a lot of issues with people, how much weird chemicals and stuff that end up in our drinking water and wastewater ends up affecting the environment. Which, so then I have to like ask, if there are people who are like taking like medical potions all of the time, or even like disposing of potions just down a sink. Does that mean it's all also ending up in the lake, potentially affecting the merpeople?
That's a very good question. Yeah, that was brought up in the letter, right?
Yeah. The letter from our listener brought up that, like, kind of IRL, scientists are realizing that, like, some of the pharmaceuticals many of us need to live and take every day end up, you know, we are excreting in some regards, and it ends up in our water system because everything is interconnected, which is not a thing I ever thought about, even sort of like for this book, like how are they disposing of stuff and how would that affect, again, the people and creatures that are living in the lake, and also the sort of like another reason why Hogwarts should not be doing that.
Right. I mean, like, especially because they have magic.
Right. Anyway, the politics of what Hogwarts is doing is fucked up. It's deeply troublesome.
Yeah, no, it's really, I just like, just thinking about it from like a book perspective of like how like wide ranging the terrible implications of this one joke are on like the world that she created. This is like exactly what Kill Your Darlings is about, is like, is it a funny joke to be like Myrtle gets flushed into the lake? Sure, I guess so. Is what that means for like the world you have created worth having that joke? No, it's not. Now we have to have conversations about Harry breathing in shit water because they're just like poisoning this lake and everyone who lives in it for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So even worse. So, okay. Detroit has a kind of water system where like if it rains too much and whatever water collection, whatever gets overflowed, it just, the sewage and rainwater overflow dumps into the river. Ugh. Not great. Obviously the system is very old. It's like basically what was here when they put pipes in. We have some of the like OG pipes, like cast iron fucking pipes in Detroit. It's out of control because it would be a very expensive fix and no one in America cares about infrastructure.
Yep.
And so because of this, Belle Isle, a popular part that is a literal island in the Detroit River, if there's beaches there for people to go into the water, but they do, I think it's one of the local government organizations does daily E. coli testing, because if the E. coli levels are too high because of all of the, say, sewage water in the river, it's not a good idea to swim in the river. And so, right. And so like every once in a while, there'll be like, you know, some kind of communication, like a text or whatever, where it's like the E. coli levels are too high for the river. The beaches are close. Witches are definitely not doing this. So I'm like, Harry, you are like, you could be getting E. coli breathing this shit in. And like, who would know? Because witches don't know anything about bacteria.
It's true, they don't.
And I'm just like, I would have refused because I would not have wanted to breathe in this disgusting lake water. I'm like, Harry! Myrtle told you that that it just gets, everything gets flushed into the lake and you're like, it's fine. Totally fine.
I know. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone get some like remediation for this lake.
Oh my God, right?
There needs to be like a Friends of the Hogwarts Lake something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know if I'm like totally off base with this, but I feel like also the merpeople are sort of like coded as like very like indigenous stereotypes. Is that just me?
No, it's not. That was the one thing that I had here too.
Okay. All right. Which is also just an extra layer of gross considering how poorly colonized countries treat their indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, it is. I also was sort of like, because kind of I'm like, well, is the goal here for her to be like drawing from like Stone Age depictions of people and basically like, because you sort of can't invent the wheel or fire underwater, that's sort of like where society would stall. And I think that's the most generous reading.
Yeah.
And does make sense. but I also feel like I don't know if it's clear enough that we should like be that generous. And for some reason, the fact that it's a matriarchal society makes me assume that like her intentions were meaner than like a generous reading, because I think that J.K. Rowling honestly probably believes that like nothing could be worse than a matriarchal society.
No, I believe that.
Even though she would never say that she thinks that, or like even think that she thinks that, but like, God, she loves the patriarchy so much. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a tweet where someone was like, I think that white women are the like middle management of hierarchical oppressions. And I'm like, and I think that Scoundrel JKR is definitely the worst middle management of hierarchical oppressions that so you much. Can find. Yeah. So yeah, I'm inclined to not feel generous, especially because unless we're assuming that this lake connects somehow to the ocean, there must be some sort of bartering and trading happening between the merfolks and I guess I don't know who, because one of the merfolks has like a shark tooth necklace, and there's a lot of weird shit in this lake, probably not sharks.
Huh. I mean, there's a squid. Is it a saltwater lake?
I actually was wondering if this was a saltwater lake because of the squid, honestly. I'm like, are there freshwater squids? Are there freshwater mermaids? Like,
and also, Crumb shouldn't have been able to breathe as a shark in freshwater.
That's true.
Although there's like one freshwater shark, right? But it sounds like he was like a great white, not like a little shark.
Yeah,
maybe it's a saltwater lake.
We could definitely talk about that more in health and science for sure.
Okay,
but regardless, the description of these merfolks makes me uncomfortable.
yeah no, me too. It's uncomfortable the whole time, and then it gets like, I think the point at which I was like was when Harry says, "It was all very well for Ron. He'd been asleep. He hadn't felt how eerie it was down in the lake, surrounded by spear-carrying merpeople who'd looked more than capable of murder." And I was like, Literally, that's my note in my book, is just a bunch of M's. Like, I don't know about this. So,
yeah. Yeah. I feel like what the part that made me go, was the part where Harry pulls his wand and all the mer folk freeze, and he's like, oh, it's like they clearly don't have any magic. And I'm like, I mean, beside the fact that you would need to be magical to be living in this whole ecosystem, Mr. Potter, it's like, you know, it's very much a like, oh, well, they have some spears, but I have a wand. And I'm like, this feels a little bit uncomfortably like I have a gun against all of these spears. And I'm like, not a good look. Not a great time.
100%.
Anyway, justice for these merpeople.
For real. Welcome to Editorials, where we rant about stuff. I want to just talk about like how this hostage situation was chosen, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, based on everything, it seems like Fleur's hostage should be Roger Davies. Is that who she took to the prom?
Yeah.
Because like, that makes just as much sense as Cedric and Crumb's being Cho and Hermione. Because it's like, what you'll sorely miss, whatever. And it's like, I know when you're young and you started dating someone 2 weeks ago, they are the most important thing in the world to you. That's true. But also, like, feels like Ron and Gabrielle are like a whole different tier of important to the person than Hermione and Cho are.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems very confusing to me. I'm like, isn't there like anybody, anything at like Cedric doesn't, you can't tell me Cedric doesn't have a dog. Like it should be his like golden retriever at the bottom of the lake, you know?
Yeah.
And then how cute would it be if Harry rescued Cedric's dog?
It would be so cute. It would be adorable. Yeah, it is very weird. Maybe Crumb is also an only child. But I'm also kind of like,
what is mom down there? I don't know. Like there's something that matters to him more than Hermione.
Right? That's why I feel like it's just for the drama of it and not the actual, like, I'm sure Crumb has a best friend, you know, or something.
Yeah. I wonder, it does kind of feel like the sort of thing that Dumbledore would just be like, eh, whatever. Just like, who have they been hanging out with lately? Just take them. And for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe Roger Davies was like, what? No. So they had to kidnap Fleur's sister. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think an also uncharitable view would be that Dumbledore asked / requested this of people who were not about to say no. Like he has 3 Hogwarts students and a like 8-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm just like, why couldn't you have put like inanimate objects? Why couldn't it be like Harry's broom at the bottom of the fucking lake? You know, like, why does it gotta be a whole ass person?
Sorry, I forgot to write this down. But if Dobby hadn't said that Harry had to rescue Ron, would Harry have known who he was there to save?
It does not seem like he would have. I mean, maybe he missed that part because he was super late.
Maybe.
But it does seem weird that he wouldn't find out until he fucking got down there.
Well, right. But then if Hermione and Ron are there, would he be like, fuck, I have 2 hostages to save? Like, it's not like he would intuitively be like, Hermione's here for Crumb, you know?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make any fucking sense. So he'd just been like, God damn it. Things just keep getting harder for me.
I mean, his defense, things do often get way harder for him. <It's
true. laughs> I also wrote, LOL, what if Harry's was serious?
If Sirius was not a literal wanted criminal, it probably is what would have happened. Sirius would have been like, yeah, sure, whatever.
He would too, for sure. What do you have next?
Why the fuck is there even a crowd for this task? There clearly is not a giant magical Megatron, which is what you would need to see what is happening. They're just like staring at a lake for an hour.
Can I ask you, what do they do in the movies for this?
They're staring at a lake. Like, really? Harry's underwater. They're, yeah, everyone's
in. It doesn't show what the people in the stands are seeing?
It's been a really long time since I've seen the 4th movie, but I don't think so.
Because in the play, they like go back to this task because it's like time travel, whatever, whatever. And in the play, it shows there being basically exactly what you said, like a big viewing screen that shows what's happening underwater. Because that's the only logical thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you need to even watch anything?
It's so boring. There are so many great TikToks of people like enacting being a spectator at the second try.
I've seen some of those. Yeah.
It's, did she really not think about this at all? I mean, obviously not, because it's the same for the fucking 3rd task. No one can see what's happening. That is not fun.
Yeah. You're just like hanging out, being like, I guess they're eating some snacks, like, I don't know, waiting for someone to come out of the maze.
Super cold. Hopefully there's someone walking around like selling hot dogs and like popcorn or something. Just like, here's something to do, I guess.
Unfortunately, if there is hot food, which hopefully there would be, it's definitely being cooked and potentially served by the house elf staff of Hogwarts.
I mean, isn't all of their food?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and then for like Dumbledore to be like, well, the merfolks told me what was going on down there. It's like, the judges don't even have any way of seeing what the fuck's going on.
I know, and it would have been so interesting to watch, you know? Everyone could have been like, oh, what's Harry doing? Like, whatever.
It's like, too much surveillance, and then the thing that you would want to see, not enough. No surveillance at all.
And also that means like no safety aside from like trusting that the mer people will be able to tell if these people like get into some sort of situation. It's like, how much do they know about like land humans, you know?
Yeah.
Would they be able to tell if like the spell backfired on one of the hostages? Would anyone be able to? And they like actually just died?
Right. I mean, would the more people care? Because I feel like if I was them, I'd be like, one less witch in the world.
I mean,
like,
I don't know. Have to assume that the reason that they swim up with Harry is because they're making sure that he doesn't drown, that they've been like asked to babysit, essentially, hopefully being well compensated for doing so. But
yeah, I know, it is very silly.
Yeah, I can't remember like the moment, but I remember the feeling of the first time that I realized that no one on like what it meant that Dumbledore had to ask the Merchief what happened, and was like, wait a second, like wait a second.
I won't lie, I don't know if I thought about that until the TikTok jokes about being like, we can't see anything, and it's like, oh. Yeah, witches are bad at spectator sports, it seems like.
Apparently, yeah. So I said earlier that I was going to have some writing commentary, which like I guess has already happened in several different ways, but I just have to let everyone know that there are 43 ellipses in the second half of this chapter. Okay, thanks.
So many ellipses.
I try so hard not to look at the punctuation because like otherwise it's all I can see, but I got to a page where there were 13 on one page, and at that point that's like most of what's there, and I was like, I can't. Yeah. Now I just have to count all of them.
Yeah, so. No, for real. Just so many ellipses.
Welcome to Advertisements, where we ask you for money and make you laugh. Somewhere, there is a realm of mystery and magic, a spooky netherworld full of shadows and glitter. It is said that once you find this place, your world will be forever changed. If you are brave enough to seek it out, simply chant #ruthless into your mirror 3 times and then go to your computer and type in #ruthless.com. Once you are there, you'll find yourself bewitched by our podcasts, enthralled by our merchandise, ensnared by our social media, and perhaps even ensorcelled into joining our Patreon. If you're feeling devious, you may leave a review on Apple Podcasts to entice others into joining you here. Just remember, #ruthless is not for just anyone. Only the most special, the most magical, the, dare I say, chosen may enter. If you think that's you, head to #ruthless.com and find out.
I love everything about that.
Thank you. I didn't write another one because I was running late. So they just get one for us this week. Welcome to the personal section where we talk about sexy stuff.
I just want to point out that I feel kind of bad for Victor Krum, who is like, I'm assuming, thinking that like, man, Hermione's gonna be so impressed that I saved her from the second task, and she's like gonna want to go like out with me some more this summer, and like it's gonna be so like romantic when she like wakes up at the side and I've like saved her. And Hermione's just like, I'm so glad my friend did well. This is great. So much weight has been lifted from me. And Krum is just like, but Hermione, like you have a bug in your head. Do you? And it's just. I don't know. It's like kind of sweet, and I just like feel bad for him.
That's funny. That's like so different from the take that I had from this, which was like a big, are the straights okay? About like Krum being jealous of Hermione for being happy for her friend, and then Hermione being jealous of Ron for getting kissed on the cheek by Fleur. And I was like, what if all of you just calmed the fuck down?
I mean, there's also that.
Welcome to the health and science section, where we talk about magic and science and magical science.
I have more about the Hogwarts League.
Good, yeah, about the like stuff from the letter.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So And this is one thing that I did not ever consider, which is, what the fuck, where the fuck does Hogwarts drinking water come from?
Oh my God, I know.
Because, like, part of the other thing that IRL having conversations about water health and public health and sort of like the importance of like knowing where our wastewater is going and how much weird crap is in it is that that's also the same source that we're drinking our water from. It's like obviously being treated unless you have a well, but like that's the whole point of having, you know, a water sewage plant to like clean the water and put it through your taps. So like, I guess if anyone had asked me before this, I would have been like, there must be a well or something. But I'm like, oh no, maybe they are just drinking the lake water,
mm-hmm.
which is an even worse idea.
Yep, it's horrifying.
Maybe there are water filtration spells, hopefully. Our letter writer also brought up that you don't ever really see Harry drinking water, which is a thing that we have often brought up.
Yes.
And obviously I know that like the importance of kids drinking water in schools has really kind of a thing that's happened in the past 10 years. More than it has like when these books were coming out. But I mean, maybe there is a sort of like a sort of like Hogwarts students just drink something else besides the water.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like Evan grew up with well water that's like honestly not good, and like whenever we would go visit his parents, I was like, I cannot drink this water. And like he, I think without even realizing it, like his whole childhood just drank like milk because he hated the water and like didn't even put together that that was why he preferred not drinking water. And then was like, yeah, no, it's the water is like legitimately gross.
Yeah, I think the first time I had well water, I was just like, what the fuck is happening? Why does it taste like this? Which I'll say honestly also lead me to the question to be like, since I don't think that witches know about E. coli, I'm like, do witches know about lead poisoning? Are there lead pipes at Hogwarts? Because that is what pipes used to, for a long time, used to be made out of. And then we realized that lead poisoning is a thing.
Yeah. And I mean, they still are so many places.
I mean, yeah.
Famously, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if you live in a city with a very old housing stock, like here in Detroit, where a bunch of homes were built at the beginning of last century, there may still be lead pipes in your home. And if they're not in their home, they might be in the sewer right between your home and the regular sewer pipe. So, I mean, there's still like lead pipes is still kind of an issue, not the same at the same level of what Flint is going through, but
yeah,
still more environmental racism.
Yeah.
So yeah, and so I'm kind of just like, man, would so many things that happen in the witching world just be explained because everyone has fucking lead poisoning?
Mm-hmm. Great question. I feel like whatever the oldest pipes are is what Hogwarts is going to have. Like they're not changing anything. So like if cast iron pipes are older than lead pipes, then that's what they're going to have, I think.
I mean, the Romans had lead pipes, right? Or is that just an urban legend? I should have looked this up before. In their aqueducts?
I don't know. I'm going to take your searching time to do a PSA that you shouldn't drink out of or like give animals water out of most garden hoses, because the reason that kids love drinking out of garden hoses is because they're lined with lead to make them flexible. So unless it's a farm safe hose, don't fill your bird bath with that. Don't fill your dog bowls with that. Don't let your kids drink that, because no one fucking knows that. And I think that's dangerous.
I did not realize that.
I feel like a lot of people right now are having childhood memories of drinking out of the hose in the summer and going, oh yeah, because that water did taste better than the inside water.
I mean, I know that I definitely did that.
Same.
Oh, okay. So Romans did use lead pipes, but it looks like there's been some recent work to be like, that's not what destroyed the Roman Empire. It probably wasn't enough lead to be a public health concern. So anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Hogwarts probably does have lead pipes. Making it once again not a school that I feel like 90% of people would want to send their children to.
Absolutely. Yep. Bring your kids to Hogwarts. They'll get attacked by trees. They'll get heavy metal toxicity. They'll get taken under a lake for no reason. It's great here.
They will not learn anything about critical thinking.
But that's okay, because neither did you, parents that are sending your children here. All right, let's talk a little bit about mermaids.
Yes.
So I learned today that, like unicorns and dragons, mermaids have popped up in lore globally, which is another thing where I'm like, I think that just means that they're real, and at some point their timeline diverged from ours, because that's just like too ubiquitous. I don't care right. what other people think. That's what I think. Almost entirely, they are beautiful. The Harry Potter mermaids don't seem to be based in any existing lore. This is a moment where, surprisingly, J.K. Rowling, I think, got creative and was like, what would you look like if you came from underwater? I did think the most like different from, you know, they're all like pretty similar, like half human on the top, fishtail on the bottom. But in some Chinese and most Japanese mer people lore, they are just fish with human heads. That's like the most divergent from the sort of the norm. And they're not specifically described as being like beautiful or not beautiful heads, because I don't know how much you're assessing the beauty of a human head when the rest of the body is just a fish.
Like, yeah,
you're mostly like, whoa.
yeah, that is, I feel like I didn't realize that like mermaids were like a global phenomenon. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit in the ocean. I mean, if there's any place for something like mermaids to be real, I would believe in the ocean.
Right, totally. Yeah, I think every continent is accounted for in this Wikipedia article. So yeah, they're just everywhere. Sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're more like sirens, you know, and lure people to their death. I assume that means that different mermaids have different hobbies, and good for them.
Yeah. There's regional differences in the hobbies of mermaids.
And so, sometimes it's the same in the same.
Yeah.
I think just like human people, some of us are nice and some are not nice.
This is true. Yeah. I know. I feel like my favorite contemporary description of mermaids, which is fat mermaids, like many sea mammals, I guess, if we're assuming that, maybe we're not assuming that mermaids are mammals, but whatever. Yeah, chunky sea creature mermaids, I love it.
Mm-hmm. I think they would have to be something like deeply unique, like a platypus, you know, where it's like enough. I mean, maybe they're mammals like a dolphin, except dolphins have to breathe air. So yes, no, they would be their own category that scientists were like, you're lying, until they were like, wow, no, this is real.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually read a really good horror novel called, I think it's In the Drowning Deep, about dangerous mermaids that live in the San Marinas Trench. Is that the really deep one?
Sounds right.
And a bunch of like scientists are going like, we found some cool shit in the trench. And then the mermaids attack their vessel and try to like murder a bunch of people. It's actually very cool, because I'm like, ooh, dangerous like horror mermaids. I'm like, I'm about this. And I think the mermaids here are definitely more dangerous than the beautiful aerial like portrait in the prefect's bathroom.
Definitely.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of The Gaily Prophet. And until next time.
I think the end word should clearly be water and sewage treatment facility.
Nailed it.